Matthew 24, we'll start reading in verse 9. Jesus is speaking, and he's telling us about the end times. Now, I don't normally teach on end times. You got to be careful doing that, because teenagers will be like, well, why do I got to go to school? And people will run up their credit bills, because we're raptured anyway, right? So why bother? Well, no, we have to occupy till he comes. That's what he told us to do. We need to act like it's 100 years away, but expect him at any moment. Amen? That's the balance. But he's talking about end times, and in verse 9, he said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Should have an altar call right there. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. It's because we're Christians. You can say God bless you to people, but the moment you mention Jesus, something changes. You bring people a choice. And I tell you what, anymore, we're open season. You can't offend this group. You can't offend that group. You can't say this. It's politically incorrect. But boy, they can sure beat up on the Christians, which is the majority, by the way. Verse 10, and then many will be offended. Say offended. Will betray each other and will hate one another. Does that sound familiar? Man, watch the news just for a little while. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. Lawlessness. We are seeing on a national level where people are literally picking and choosing what laws they're going to enforce and which ones they aren't. I'm trying not to get too political. But we're in a political season. And it's very important that we vote. That's what we do. We're to vote. And we're to vote as though Jesus were the one pulling the lever. Righteousness exalts a nation. Then it says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Wow. That means that there is an eternal consideration to us staying in this thing. Obviously, these things that are going to happen are designed to get you away from the body of Christ, to get you out of God's blessing and family. But if you stay in there, you're saved. Sozo. Now, the title of the message today is Soul Care Provider. Soul Care Provider. What we're talking about is our soul. It's very important. Now, the phrase there where it says, the love of many will grow cold. That's interesting to me. It says grow cold. That means it's not an immediate thing. It's a process. That means that we get off a little bit at a time. And if the slower it is, the more subtle it is, the more we don't notice it. If something were immediate, like you jump in a pool, you know it's cold. If you put a frog in a pan of room temperature water, nothing happens, but you turn the heat up, gradually you can kill it because they don't notice that it changed. And that's what the enemy's trying to do with us. And the word grow cold, it's where we get the word psycho. It's a Greek word, but it means to breathe voluntarily, but gently, to an innate breeze. That is, by implication, of reduction of temperature by evaporation. So think about it. Whether it's the enemy or just society, it's trying to put your fire out. A little at a time. Gently put your fire out. Gently put your fire out. The enemy is trying to gently put your fire out. And if he does it gradually, you won't notice that it's going out. I want to be red hot. How about you? There's a family of these words, and Rick Renner said this word means soulish. So this is what's happening in our soul, our mind, our will, and especially our emotions. Emotions are not bad. Sometimes Word and Faith folks, they poo-poo emotions like they don't matter. Well, God made us emotional beings. I mean, they're there. You got to deal with them. But they shouldn't drive the bus. For a lot of people, they do. Feelings have become dictators rather than indicators. Did you hear that? Feelings have become dictators rather than indicators. Social constructionism. Has anybody ever heard of that? I hadn't either. But what it means is creating your own reality. Creating your own reality. And so we've got to be careful that we don't throw gas on the wrong fire. There are sides today, and people are passionate about their side. And we want to be red hot, but we don't want to throw gas on the wrong fire. We really need to throw the gas on our fire. Praise God. Now go over to Luke 17. This is going to help us. Luke 17, look at verse 1. Then he, Jesus, said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." Skip down to verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, I would have said that too. Really, Lord? And then Peter, I think he's trying to score points later on. He goes, "How many times my brother sinned against me? Seven, right, Lord?" And he goes, "I don't say seven. I say 70 times seven." So in other words, you don't keep score. You don't keep score. Talk about needing some more faith. Come on, bring on some faith. But the disciples knew that you forgive by faith. You don't forgive because you feel like it. If you're waiting to forgive somebody on how you feel, you're never going to get there. It's when you forgive, you make a choice to release them as an act of your will, especially when you're upset about something. I mean, you're miffed. And you choose to let that go. You say, "I'm going to grant them an unconditional pardon. Do they deserve it?" No, they don't. But I'm going to cut them a break. I'm letting them go from this thing. And on the day of judgment, I hold no accusation over them. And so we make a choice. When we do that, now the healing power of God starts to work in your heart. I tell you what, if you get unforgiveness in your heart, you have put an iron ceiling in your life. It'll be like God's nowhere near you. You're going to hear your own echo hitting the ceiling if you're trying to pray past unforgiveness. Won't happen. It won't happen. You know, unforgiveness is sin. Can we just call it what it is? But unforgiveness is continual, perpetual sin. Because unforgiveness is unforgiveness until it's forgiveness. Is that too deep? I mean, you're in the act of a sin until you forgive. If you're in unforgiveness, it's perpetual. And so it puts a roadblock between you and the Lord. So what do? You forgive. He said forgive. How do you do it? By faith. By faith. Do you want to? Mm-mm. And the worse, the atrocity, the worse the infraction, the less likely you are to want to do it. And then people will put this on you. You haven't forgiven if you don't forget about it. And I would say that things that impact you deeply, I don't believe we have the ability to just purge our memory. And I liken it to my laptop back there. You know, you have a desktop. I don't want their file open all the time. I don't want that on my desktop. Just go ahead and put it away. You know what I mean? When you put files away, after a while, the computer, when it needs more memory, it compresses it. And then when you open that file, you see it. It's blue. You could reactivate it if you needed to, but you don't need to be looking at it every time you open your desktop. If you're spending time with that, then I would check up again on the forgiveness thing. How many have ever done that? You forgave somebody, but you found yourself back in unforgiveness. There's about 10 honest people here. Every one of us have done that. I've had people do this. Write down what they did, date it, and now set that thing on fire. I've literally done this. There was a pastor in Clarksville, as a matter of fact, and I took this man out on the side of the building. I said, "Now here, we're going to write this down." And he goes, "Well, do you want to know?" I said, "I don't care what he did. It doesn't matter to me. I don't want to know. Don't need that in my head. Just write it down, and we'll light the thing on fire." Amen? most of us would want to go, yeah, tell me what happened. I want to pray. Sure you do. You just nosy. Tell the truth. Now, that word offense, I've shared it many, 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 many times. The word offense is the word scandalon, and it's a trap stick. It's a snare. And it's literally the bait stick that's used for trapping monkeys. The scandalon is the stick. They tie a banana to a scandalon, and then they put it in a cage. And so the little hairy hand reaches in the cage, grabs the scandalon, and will not let it go. The hunters walk up. The monkey is terrified, scared, and there you are. You don't even have to waste a bullet. They just take a club. The enemy wants to club you in the head. He wants to take you out. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants your fire out. How does he do it? Offense. 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 Read the book of Jude. It talks about that the enemy, they didn't keep their proper domain. And it says they are forever chained to darkness. You know what? If there are places in our heart that we don't open, he only can operate in darkness. And so if we have the testimony of Jesus, which is the devil came to me and he has found nothing in me. There's no crevice. It would be like a SEAL team going into a building when they went to Afghanistan and they found bin Laden. It'd be like them going into a building and clearing out their building, but leaving one room over here. No, we're not going to clear that room. Are you kidding? There's darkness there. Don't leave a place for darkness to exist. That's the only place that the devil has a handle. Take that away. Just put everything in the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness. Put it in the light. I said, put it in the light. Say it with me. Put it in the light. There's nothing else like that. I've had relationships that got really strained, and they just wouldn't bring it to the light. They just wouldn't do it. And I thought, man, come on. Let's let the Lord have this. Because once it's in the light, the Lord can heal it. He can heal it, but it's got to be in the light. If we keep it in darkness, then the enemy is working. He's working on you. I'm telling you, he's trying to bash your head in. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Man, you're pulling good. I'm having fun. Can you tell? Wow. Thank you, Lord. I've seen the love of many growing cold. We've often thought of things like this, that if somebody could come back, even from, say, the early 60s, or the 50s, and they just watched a few commercials. You know, we think that they would be in shock. Yes, they would, but I think they would break down and cry when they see how far from God we've drifted. The Dick Van Dyke Show, they weren't allowed to be in the same bed, and they're married. Am I telling the truth? Now you got to watch the commercials. I mean, our kids, we were watching Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, my Lord Jesus, the commercials that come on. And it's over before you can say, oh, my gosh, don't look at that. They've already seen it. It is. It's awful. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 14. And it says, pursue peace with most people. What? Somebody's reading with me. Glory to God. Pursue peace with people that you like. Pursue peace with people that it's easy to pursue peace with. You get the point, right? Pursue peace with all people. There are some that are very lovable. And then there are some that are quite the opposite. And then it says, and holiness. So we're to pursue two things. Peace with our relationships and God's holiness. And holiness is not how you dress. Holiness is a heart condition which God has provided for us. We are holy, now act like it. Let that salvation that's in you come out of you. It's not do's and don'ts. I'm not talking about earning anything. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. What he's saying is just like the woman that was healed, be healed of your affliction. He's saying, be holy. I've been made holy. Now be that. Be that. Present tense, repeated action, right? Be holy. Without which no one will see the Lord. You're not going to see the Lord unless you are holy. You could also say that if we're not pursuing peace with all people, that may challenge our ability to see the Lord too. Most people aren't connecting those two things, but there it is. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Remember, the grace is for the challenges. When there's somebody that's hard to love, that's where the grace abounds. Lord, give me grace. Right? You access grace by faith. Lord, increase my faith. Praise God. And you know what he'll do? Let me tell you what he'll do. It's so awesome. Remember that video we watched of the Tuttles? Paul Sr., Paul Jr., and we saw the backstory of Paul Sr., who was such a tyrant to his son, and his son was such a punk. You know what I mean? And they were just, both of them were wrong. And then we saw his backstory, and we realized he's acting just like his dad acted. I had compassion for him. I saw the boy that didn't get the love from his dad. That's what I saw, instead of some guy that was just mean and tyrannical. I saw the boy. That's what the Lord will do. He'll show you the backstory, and he will literally move you with compassion. So instead of you being a victim or being accosted by somebody, all of a sudden you're seeing the 50,000 foot view. You're seeing God's angle of this story. He shows you why they're acting the way they act. Hurting people hurt people. It's what they do. So if you're in a checkout line, instead of being offended because they didn't treat you right or whatever, and you're like, well, I guess I need to go get them a Happy Meal. Instead of being like that, just start thinking about, I wonder what the story is. I wonder what they're going through. And pray for them. And you know what? You don't know what to pray because you don't know them, perhaps, right? So what do? Pray in the Spirit for them. Pray in the Spirit all the way to your car for them. Lift them up. And what happens? Whatever injury, whatever offense you might have taken, whatever scandal on you tried to grab, it dissolves. You invest in that person. Amen? Man, this message is coming out so much better than I had any idea it would. And we don't want to come up short of the grace of God, but you can. The grace is limitless, and it's available to everybody, but you can come up short, right? And then it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, we've studied this word bitterness before, and it's an amazing word. Everything we're going to read is from Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems. And so he's doing a word study of this. And he says, an inward attitude that is so bitter, it produces a scowl on one's face. In other words, you become so inwardly infected with bitterness that you are outwardly affected in your appearance and disposition. The fruit it produces is unkind, sour, sharp, sarcastic, scornful, cynical, mocking, contemptuous, and wounding. Man, bitterness has nothing good to say about the other person. In fact, it looks for negative things to say about that person in order to affect others' opinions about him as well. Watch out about that. See, it's trying to spread that mess. If you find yourself constantly saying negative things about someone who has offended you or upset you in the past, it may be that a root of bitterness is trying to grow inside your heart. If this describes you, it is essential that you grab hold of that root of bitterness through the act of repentance and rip those destructive roots clear out of your soul, because that's where they are. The word actually means acridity, and I had to look that up. When something is acrid, it is so foul, you have to cover your nose. It's so foul. In the building that we came from, we used to have rodents. And on occasion, they would die. And they would die in the wall. And so I'd have to get my key saw out and do surgery on the wall. Now, finding those things was a challenge. If you walked in our lobby, you might notice there's like 10 grates. Like we have a whole bunch of air filters. You know why? Because I cut holes there. And I figured rather than patching it back up and cutting it out again, I just put a grate over it. So anytime I smell that... We had pictures, too, so there was a lot of surgery. You might be wondering, why'd they hang those pictures like that? There's a reason, believe me. There's a reason. One time I just wanted to sit in the floor because I couldn't find one. I was like, God, this isn't what I thought of when I thought of ministry. But that's what you do. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, let's put some action with this, because we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about avoiding a root of bitterness. Repentance is your key. Repentance is an amazing word. And you guys know what it means. It means to go in a different direction. Okay, it's not just saying, oh, I'm sorry, God, and stuff, you know. No, you need to do different. You got to change. You got to turn around and act differently. Amen? Go over to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to talk about what we need to do. It is so divided in this nation at this point. And I tell you what, folk are passionate on both sides of the aisle. We have friends... Well, used to have friends. I'm thinking of one in particular that, oh my gosh, I don't know this man anymore. It's bad. Some of the things that are being written, and the way it's written, it's talking about the profile I fit. I'm like, me? What? What did he say? And this man was a sweetheart. I'm having a hard time reconciling that, because that's what can happen. You can get so passionate about a thing that your position on something means more to you than the people that you're connected with. And we're supposed to pursue peace with people. You know what? If I reach an impasse politically or spiritually or something like that, I stop. Stop it. I'm not there to persuade them or convert them. Or let me just figure out, where can we agree? Where can we agree? Let's maintain unity. Ephesians 4:3 says we are to endeavor to maintain the unity that's produced by the Spirit in a bond of peace. In fact, that's what this one meeting is all about that we're getting ready to have. It's all about praying for this nation and seeing it come back together. Civility needs to come back. It needs to come back. There needs to be respect. Doesn't mean you have to agree. You don't. In fact, you probably won't. You probably will not agree, but you don't have to be rude and mean and spiteful. And I tell you what, it's getting out of hand. We're concerned people are going to get hurt over a cause, really? So the cause is more valuable than a human life? I don't think so. Wow, I'm on the soapbox. I better get back down. Somebody's got to say it. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So what are we to do? We have to guard our heart. How do I do that? You want to know how to do that? The next four verses tell you how. Avoid all perverse talk. How much perverse talk? Well, what about things I disagree with? All perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. You know, you really have enough to deal with if you just deal with you. Can I say that again? If you just deal with you, you have all you can handle. You really do. If you can just deal with you, you're doing good. Okay? Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. The long way is better than the wrong way. There's times I just have to turn it off. The news. There's times that you gotta just get off of social media. You know what I mean? I would watch it so much sometimes that I'm getting ready to go get my pitchfork and a torch and let's go to City Hall. I mean, somebody's gonna hear me. Stop. You gotta stop. We're not supposed to fret, are we? Because of evildoers. We're supposed to feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. Tomorrow when you wake up, God is faithful. He's not in and out. He's not in a good mood this day, in a bad mood. Feed on that faithfulness. It will make you consistent. Amen. Then he says, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. That's how you do it. That is how you guard your heart. So that means you're going to consider every step. And you're going to stay on the path that God's called you to stay on. Amen. In closing, I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at verse 7. And it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Bless his holy name. The New Living Translation says, the end of the world is coming soon. Now, if that was true when the book of 1 Peter was being written, it would be more true now, would it not? And see, we don't try to set dates. That's not a smart thing to do. But the condition of the times, I don't think there's a whole lot that has to happen for this to be concluded. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. He will return. And when he does, then whatever opportunity people had, it's over. That opportunity is expired. And God's not willing that any should perish. That's why it seems like he's slack in his promise, like coming back. He wants to extend the opportunity as far as it can be extended to get as many people into the family of God as is possible. Because he's not slack. It will happen. The day will come. Has anybody ever see Close Encounters of the God Kind by Jesse Duplantis? I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. He said that he's there with Jesus, and Jesus is weeping. And then he realized when he said, I'll wipe away every tear, it was his own tears, because he had to send away his own creation. And he said, I cannot change it. It's heavy. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to pray. That's what we're going to do Friday. We're going to pray. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about the more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? Anybody know? What is it? Love is the more excellent way. Above all things. So this is important, right? Above all things. Above everything else. Have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. You have that love in you because God is love, right? So we have to cooperate with his love. His love is not a feeling. His love is a choice. His love is a decision. When we were still sinners, he demonstrated his love for us. Is that true? Then it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The last 3 weeks we've been talking about, don't complain, right? No complaining. Why? Because your brain will rewire itself to put you on autopilot when it comes to complaining. Isn't that amazing that our brains can do that? And you have to change it. That's why we did this 40-day challenge of being grateful. It has been so helpful to me that during this whole entire transition, I'm forced every morning to get up and find something to be grateful for. I wish that was automatic. I'd wake up, it's nice to be alive. No, you have to look for things to be thankful about. Father, thank you for my kids. Thank you that they love me. Thank you that they're healthy. Thank you that I have a beautiful wife. Thank you for my home. The list is so long. It's hard to limit it to one or two things. Amen? So we're to do everything without complaining. That word grumbling means murmuring or muttering. It's a secret debate among people. That sounds like digs on Facebook. Say something, people do this, and you mean it for that one specific person. We're not to do that. Don't grumble. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What will cause this love to come out of you? Serve. Serve. Serve people with who God's designed you to be. Serve him. You have a gift, and now you minister that to people. As you do that, you're letting fervent love. That word fervent is an interesting word. When you look at it, it's the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, Jack Hayford's Bible, they have these word welts in there, and it means the opposite of cold, dead, dry, and unemotional. So it's talking about a passion or a heat. Remember, the enemy is trying to put your fire out. But if we'll serve people with who God's made us to be, we will reignite the fire in us. We'll have fervent love. Not just love, fervent love. That's a hot heat love that's for people. That means it's real, and there's a compassion that's available. Isn't that good? Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? I got myself happy. Glory to God.